I want to talk to you today about learning to serve from a different source. And I know that this is a scripture that we read during the Easter season, but I really sense so much that as we're entering again another new season of our lives, I put all my deck furniture away yesterday. You know what that means? I really thought that there was some truth pertaining to this scripture that would help us and that God would illuminate to us that he wants to bring through us a miracle to someone's life. And I was talking to my son Ryan and we were talking just about the very act of serving and the importance of it. And we talked about I could share something about serving every month. And I thought of this scripture, and I was just drawn to this, and I thought, well, this is kind of a Palm Sunday. But the miracle that is within this, it goes beyond that, because it's a foundational truth. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 19 and verse 28, that after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. Now, I just can't encourage you enough to read your Bible, look at it, and amen. If that's Jesus calling, tell him I'm delivering his word, and if he could just wait for about 15 minutes, okay? Just funny. I see there's a typo on that, Luke 19:28 through 28. It's actually Luke 19:28 through 38. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, if you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Now, that Greek word for colt literally means a donkey, or, you know, if you're reading King James, it describes it in another language, but I think donkey or colt is appropriate right now. He said, he tells his two disciples, he says, go on ahead of us, go into a village, you'll find a colt tied there. And I love that, which no one has ever ridden, untie it, bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you untying it, tell them that the Lord needs it. And those who were sent ahead went, and they found that just as he had told them, and as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? And they replied, the Lord needs it. Now listen, if you show up in somebody's driveway and jump in their car, and somebody comes out of the house and says, hey, where are you going with my car? And you say, oh, the Lord needs it. I doubt if you're going to have and be met with the same excitement as they were in this case. And so verse 35 says, they brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. And he went along. People spread their cloaks on the road, and when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles that they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. I've walked down that very pathway where he rode that donkey, and the Bible really dictates to us here that Jesus, he's not coming to pay for his sins. He's coming to pay for the sins of the world, the sins of you and I. And he sends two of his disciples ahead to release and bring him a donkey, of all things, a donkey. And every time that I read this, I think, if I was the Lord, I wouldn't choose a donkey. And we know that Zechariah prophesied that hundreds of years prior, that that's what he would ride into. But I'm thinking a thoroughbred. I'm thinking a racehorse. I'm thinking something that has a little swag to it, a Mustang, a Clydesdale, something that looks better. But yet Jesus tells them to bring a donkey. And Jesus also, he could have snapped his finger that day and he could have got anything that he wanted. He could have ridden in on anything. He could have walked through the crowd, but yet he chose a donkey to ride into this great place. And Jerusalem was packed. It was the time of Passover, but he chose to borrow a donkey as he borrowed a manger when he came into the world in Luke chapter 2, as he borrowed a boat to preach from in Luke chapter 5. In John chapter 6, he borrows fishes and loaves and he feeds a multitude, thousands of people. He borrowed that. In Luke 22, the Bible says he borrowed the upper room to share his Last Supper, communion as we know it today with his disciples, what we will be partaking of at the end of the service today. And then in Luke chapter 23, he borrows a tomb because he knows he's only going to be there for 3 days. And as God borrows the donkey, he has this propensity, and I believe he's speaking to you and I, that he wants to borrow our life while we're here on this earth. And could it be instead of him choosing something spectacular and something so perfect, maybe God would choose something, or in this case, someone that would seem to be so unrealistic to everybody else, but seems so perfect for what he had in mind that day. And God would choose to borrow you today. He would choose to borrow me because he reached to me so that he could reach through me. I want you to remember that and hear that. God reached to you so he could reach through you. Not so you could just sit and feel good about yourself that now you're going to heaven and everything's going to be okay. But God reached to you for a purpose today. He reached to you so he could reach his love and his life through you. And so what can we learn? What can we ascertain from this? How can we be used? Number one, you and I must learn that we have to be available. We have to be available. You know, this donkey was available because he did not resist the disciples from taking him. When you think of a donkey, you don't have to think or go very far to know that donkeys by nature are stubborn, just like some of us are. They're stubborn. They only want to do what they want to do. That's the characteristic. But not this time. When the disciples came and they unloosed him, they said, come on. And he followed them. Sometimes you have to lay down your nature. You have to lay down your instinct when God is calling you to go with him to do something that you've never done before. Sometimes you have to step aside from what you're comfortable with in order for him to take you to a place where you may be uncomfortable to get what he has promised to give to you. Amen. Because if you always wait for when it's right for you, you'll never see the best that he has for you. He's calling on some of you, even today, to do something that maybe you've never done before. You say, well, that's just not me. Of course it isn't you. If it was you, he would choose somebody else to do it. But he's calling people who have no idea where he's going to take them that will just say yes to him and not quiver over it a bit, but just move with him. The second thing is, we can learn to pray. We can learn to pray. Because when we pray, it prepares a way for us to receive what he has. And it prepares us to go in the direction that he's calling us to go. It makes me more aware also of the people that I'm praying for. I found over the years that when people ask me to pray for them or pray for a certain thing, and when I begin to pray for them, I take the emphasis off of what I think, and all of a sudden now God makes me more aware of who they are and what they're going through. And when you and I pray, it delivers us out of a selfish place of our own life. And it takes us into a dimension where he is speaking to us and he is speaking through us today. You and I have to pray. And I'm well aware that some people have looked me right in the eye and say, well, God hasn't called me to pray. I'm not a praying person. My brothers and my sisters, if we're going to be devoted followers of Jesus Christ, we're all going to be praying people. Number three is we can learn to invest in others. Instead of us being the most visible, God used a donkey to lift Jesus to a higher place. And he's calling you and I to see more of him and less of you and me. Which just makes me always think about that when I do something good or nice for someone, do I want to get noticed or do I want him to be noticed? You ever been around somebody that maybe God did a miracle in their family or they received healing or they were blessed in some way, and all of a sudden you hear somebody say, yeah, I prayed for that person. Yep, it was my prayer to help them get. Do you think that's what God is intending for you and I to do? God says for us to allow Jesus to ride on our shoulders so that he can be seen and we are lost in the crowd. Let me tell you something. The greatest blessing comes to your life and to my life when we are not seen and he is only the one that is seen. Could it be that God would choose us to bring a message to someone? Could it be that God would choose us to bring hope and to bring love and to bring joy into someone's life? But not so that we can be seen and thanks, but for him to be seen and so he can be thanks. Could it be that God wants to ride on our shoulders through the crowd and just use us in a way that he is glorified and we're just a vessel that carries his word? And number four, we have to learn to celebrate. Celebrate what God has done in our lives. Have you and I lost the excitement of the transformation that has happened inside of our lives? You can be reminded of what God has done in your life by considering the donkey. I just love this. The donkey got up every day and he was tied to this post. Can you just imagine this with me? Every day his master would lead him maybe out of a stall at night and come out and tie him up to the post. And as that donkey would sit there, that donkey would look in every direction, see people walking by, might have seen other animals just prancing by him. And there's that donkey sitting there tied to that post, looking around, wondering, why am I here? Why do I have to stay here? Watching the world pass me by, and here I am, tied to the post. And I couldn't help but all last week, and even the whole month that I was reflecting over my life, that my birthday was approaching and how old I was turning. I told everybody last week that when my dad was 60, he drank himself to death. My mom was gone at the age of 58, so it was a surreal moment in my life as I'm approaching this age. And I'm beginning to think about it, and I'm reflecting on my own life as I was a child and growing up. I remember the years that I was like that donkey, that I was tied to a post. Young as I can remember, I remember my dad taking me with him when he went to the hotel. As kids, we used to call it the beer joint. And he'd take me there and he'd say, you're going to sit in that table, you're going to shut your mouth, and you're going to wait there until I'm done. And for hours, I would sit there watching my dad up at the bar fraternizing with all of his friends. And they'd sip me, to this day I don't like it, Coke. In a warm glass. It was nasty. The glass had film on it from some individual the night before. And there's that Coke sitting. And you're going to drink one Coke. You're going to sit there for 5 hours. And I was tied to that post as a young boy. I begin to think about that. I begin to think about how people would talk about me and talk about our family. Oh, that's the McDonald's. That's a drunken family. They're alcoholics. They're losers. They're nobody tied to the post of other people's opinion. What they thought of me. Watching the world move by. As a little boy, I would see other children running and having fun. Some that had a mom and a dad in their home, and they would be loving one another, and they would be hugging the kids, and there would be joy and laughter. And there I was as a little boy. I was tied like that donkey was, day in and day out, to a post in my life. And then one day, that donkey was tied up to that post, and two strange men that maybe he had never seen before came up and began to untie him from that post. And he must have wondered at that moment, did I get bought? Is somebody going to take me here? Where am I going? And he hears the words, the master has need of me now. Wow, that's incredible. And could it be the same for you as it was for me? Because I remember the day that I was tied to that post. Actually, at the moment that I gave my life to Christ, I was a homeless young man wandering and wondering, where am I going? You see, some people, I believe, you've untied yourself from the post and you're just wandering. You're just going in any direction because you're not going to let anybody conform you. You're not going to let anybody tie you down. But the moment that you allow Jesus to come into your life and untie you from whatever it is that's holding you, freedom comes into your life like you never could know. And that, my brothers and sisters, for me, is worth celebrating day in and day out. I remember that day when I was at that little CMA church, Christian Missionary Alliance, and the man began to preach like I'd never heard anybody preach before. He began to jump and hollered a little bit. And I felt God in my life. And I felt at that moment that rope being untied in my life. And when I went to that altar and I gave my life to Christ, I am still to this day, as I said it earlier, every time there's an altar call, I still feel the same feeling that I did some 40 years ago when I gave my life to Jesus. And my friends, today, you can't lose that. You can't lose that heart of celebrating what God has done for you. Sometimes we get going and life causes us to fall in this rut. And sometimes people just get miserable and ornery and they think they own that. Let me tell you something. When the joy of the Lord strikes your heart and when you remember what God has done for you, nothing or no one could take away that excitement and celebratory action in your life. And you need that. And some of you are here today. Maybe you've never given your life to Christ. And you need to do that. Some of you are here today. Maybe you made a commitment to Him one time. And you just haven't fed it. You haven't done anything with it. Some of you are here today. And you're just tied. And God wants to set you free from that. God wants to loose you from that. And He wants to give you the future and the hope that He has promised to every single one of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who am I speaking to in this house today? I want those that are going to share with me with communion. I want you to come now. This is what I want to do today. I want you to come now. Come quickly. I want to share the bread and the cup. And I want you to hold it. And I want you, when you receive it for a moment this morning, I want you to begin to pray. And ask the Lord. I don't care whether you're saved or not. If you don't know Him as your Savior, you need to ask Him to come into your heart and into your life today. You need to allow Him to be first place. You can do that right where you are. You can do that right where you are. And before you receive the cup and the bread of the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to make that commitment today. And if you're not willing to do that, I would just suggest that you just bypass this part of the service. Maybe you're here today and you've given your life to Christ, but you just feel stuck. You feel bound by something. God has come and He wants to deliver and He wants to release you from those things that tie you down and hold you down. And today is your day. And I believe with all of my heart that God can and wants to do that in your life today. After you receive the cup and the bread, I want you to close your eyes. Maybe you're here today and you've got a challenge. You've got an issue in your life. You've got a mountain. You've got some thing that is just holding you back. How He wants to loose you from that. And set you completely free from that today. Listen, don't let anything distract you right now. This is a moment for you and God. Nothing else, no one else. You and the Lord right now. Praise your name, God. Don't let anything distract you right now. You receive the bread and the cup. Just hold it. We'll all partake together. Just close your eyes. Take this moment just to meditate on Him. He said to remember what I've done. You need to, some of you, you haven't celebrated what He's done in your life in a long time. You've lost your ability even to praise Him. I don't know what has gotten into some in the church that, like, we feel like we've arrived sometime. We don't need to honor and praise and serve and worship. And God today gives us an illustration of a donkey. that obeyed and carried the master. God has called you young, middle-aged, older, whoever you are, to carry the greatest gift that life could ever give. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Just hold the bread and the cup until we all are served. We worship you, Lord. We praise your holy name, God. And this is a moment where God will release healing over your body as well. Believe him for it today. Trust him for it today. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. If anyone was not served, raise your hand right now so we can take care of that. Thank you, God. Ladies and gentlemen that are serving, I want you to stay at the table. Partake right there with me this morning. Jesus took the bread. Stay in an attitude of prayer right here now. Need God to do something in your life? He's able. He took the bread. He broke it and he gave thanks. He said, "This is my body. It's been broken for you. Take and eat this, every one of you, and remember what I've done for you." Let's celebrate. Let's remember what the Lord has done for us. Let's partake of the bread, the body of the Lord Jesus, together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The cup. The Bible says he took it in the same manner. He says, "This is my blood, just shed for many." No matter who you are today, whether you believe or don't believe, whether you're tied or untied, whether you're allowing him to use you or not, he shed his blood for you. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess Jesus is Lord. No one else has ever shed their blood for you. He is the only one. He gave it for you. He says, "As often as you drink this, remember what I've done for you." God, I thank you today for your blood, the covenant of life and hope and eternity. Thank you that you shed your blood. You paid for our sin that we don't have to. You paid a debt you didn't owe because we owed a debt we could not pay. We thank you for it. Let's partake of the cup together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Prayer team, come on down to the front here just for a moment. I give you thanks, God, for your body and your blood today. It sets us free in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Ushers, can you prepare this morning as we give this month's offering, our missions offering this month together? We're going to receive that offering and then I'm going to release you. You need prayer, you have a need in your life of any kind, these folks will pray. Come right down, ushers. You can give online. There's even a place in the PushPay app for you to give for missions today. You can do that. 100% of that will go to the Genesee Cancer Assistance right here in our county. Father, thank you, God, for your love, your grace to us now. Thank you for what you've done and what you're doing. Thank you for loosing us. Thank you for setting us free. Thank you for giving us life and that more abundantly. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you as you give this morning.